Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
In just a few moments, we're going to be speaking about South Africa's labor figures. Michael Bahrem is going to be joining us. Statistics has said that formal employment in South Africa has dropped by over 229,000 jobs year on year. In the second quarter of 2025, we lost 80,000 jobs. We know that there is an employment crisis. I always, when people say that and I'm listening to the radio, it feels quite glib to say that, because if you think about the impact of one person being unable to earn, what it does to them, their family, their day-to-day existence, even their mental state, it's very challenging. And when you have hundreds of thousands of people in South Africa who are struggling with formal employment, that becomes an issue. So let us know what you think about this. You can tweet us at Kaya on Air is our handle. You can use the hashtag Kaya Biz. You can also WhatsApp us 063-688-0959. You can let us know what you think about the employment statistics. It feels like every quarter when we get this information, we're quite horrified about the state, especially of youth unemployment, of unemployment in general, but in particular youth unemployment. And then we move on until the next quarter where we have the surprise and angst. So perhaps we can talk about solutions, or you can tell us your views on anything else that's happened on the show so far and still to come on Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Of course, we'll be talking about jobs, and then a little bit later on, we'll be taking a look at artificial intelligence and how that is going to impact jobs. There's always a concern when there's something new about jobs being taken away. A few years ago, I had the privilege of interviewing Jack Ma, and I asked him about artificial intelligence in a South African context and an African context where we have this crisis of jobs. And he said he believed that AI is actually going to add to the potential of jobs. It's going to take away some of the tasks that are, I don't want to use the word menial, but it's going to take away some tasks, but it's going to leave so much room, and people who are creative and think out of the box like we do here on the continent are going to be able to do well. For now though, Michael Bahrein joins us. Michael, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Let's talk about the statistics of the second quarter employment and jobs. Just your reaction to those figures.
Well, look, I must admit I was shocked, and yet I shouldn't be, because I'm at the coalface. But basically, as a labor lawyer, I wasn't experiencing that on the ground, in the sense of me sitting in a niche market in Cape Town. But now when I read those figures, I can understand where the economy is going, and it is a shock. I think it should be a shock for all South Africans. These latest numbers tell us that we need a very big wake-up call. And that wake-up call has to be, it can't be business as usual. It cannot be. We've lost 300,000 formal sector jobs. That's 630 people every single day. Just think about it. That's 630 families that are going to not have bread on the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's horrific every single day. You can hear me from the way I'm talking. I'm still trying to internalize that. And I don't think there's not one family in this country now that is not affected by this problem. Mm. So we need to go back to the drawing board in South Africa. I think slowly but surely our government is starting to think that way. They never used to think that way. They used to think that government creates jobs. They used to look at it on a different basis. Mm. And we know that isn't true. It's the business community that must create the jobs. It's the business community that has to go back to the drawing board as well and actually stop the whole business of saying, well, we're going on an investment strike. That can't be. And we also know, the economists are telling us that it's small businesses that's going to create jobs. It's small businesses that is creating jobs. Big businesses are doing well. We've seen our stock exchange. Businesses are making more and more profit. but it's jobless growth. And that's not helping us as a people in South Africa at the moment. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help us to say, and I can tell you now, the people on the stock exchange are reporting fantastic figures. They're very happy. They're saying, well, we're doing well, our stock is going up, we're trading better, et cetera, et cetera. But it's jobless growth.
Yeah.
And what we need now in South Africa is we need to go back to the drawing board, and we need to say it's small business. Small businesses need to be given help. They need to be, we need to relax our labor laws. We need to actually take the red tape and throw it into the sea. We must do everything possible.
No, let's go back to that, especially as you're a labor lawyer and you're saying that the red tape, there's, I know that there is that refrain around even the minimum wage, people saying, ah, you know, people would rather have any job than have a job where, you know, people can't afford to pay the minimum wage. But I think in a context like ours, you have to be very careful about throwing out red tape, because we've seen so many exploitative practices building even the city that we're in, even into democracy. We see exploitation of people for a few rands, and that's where government has to work with the private sector. Government has to have oversight and work with them to ensure that there are jobs, but that people also have dignity in the work that they have and are able to work and are not just working for transport or, you know, for 10 or 15 days of the month.
I understand that, mm-hmm. but no rand a month versus some rand a month has to be the first step. I understand government has to look at the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that people are safe, need to make sure that people can survive. We need to make sure of all those things, but we've gone overboard. We've actually made, you know, we always say substance over form. Well, we've got form over substance in South Africa. Mm-hmm. That's not right. Absolutely not right. And I must tell you, you know how many businesses today are saying, well, we can't afford the minimum wage, so we're just not going to pay anything towards UIF, workman's compensation, tax. We're just going to skirt all the laws.
Yeah, so you shouldn't really be doing that also. You know.
Yeah, well, of course not. But you want to make the laws, you want to make the laws applicable. You want to make the business community say, well, look, at least that's attainable.
Yeah.
If you're saying it's not attainable, then you're forcing them into the dustbin of history.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
Michael, so I think you brought up a really good point when you spoke about the investment strike, and it talks to the issues that you've also raised now, in that there's a sort of resentment that can arise, in particular by businesses who feel they don't want to comply with certain policies and directives of government, and therefore are either not going to or going to do so grudgingly or skirt the laws. What's the importance of, as you say, going back to, you know, that private and public sector collaboration? And obviously that's not working if you are still hearing sentiment like that, but also saying, you know, you have to have a sense of almost, without being airy-fairy about it, if you are a business in South Africa, realize the context you're operating in. You must make a profit, but you must also realize that you can't just do the things you're speaking about.
Yeah. Well, look, let me give you two examples, and I think they're great examples. The first one is Minister Barbara Creasy. Minister Creasy is aware that our public transport is broken. So she's gone out to the private sector and broken the mold, the whole mold of government. Mm-hmm. It is brave and it's innovative, but she's broken that mold, and she's on the way now to building up the railway system in South Africa across the board. Mm-hmm. And that's working with the business community.
Correct.
Now, you know, I have, as a labor lawyer, I have people who come into my office and tell me that they spend one half of their salary on transport. On taxis and on across the board. It's just very sad that you can earn a minimum wage. That's great. But if you're spending half of it on transport, well, then you're destroying it anyway. And the business community have realized that they've got to work with government on that one. And I think it's a great example. And I'm hoping to see wonderful things over the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It started already.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is the Minister of Home Affairs. is also saying, if we've got to bring in experts from outside to train our people and to employ more people for each expert, well, I'm going to make it easy. And he's done that. Mm. So, you know, we had those two ministers in government who are jumping the normal mold that we see and saying, let's talk to the business community. Let's see what they want. Let's see if we from government can do it. And let's make it better for the staff of South Africa. Mm-hmm. We need people. We're recruiting people all the time because we haven't got the expertise in this country. What's happening is every time you bring someone in, they got all sorts of hassles, all sorts of red tapes. The business said, okay, well, they haven't got their permit. We're not going to expand. We're not going to take on that expertise, so we won't employ an extra 20 people. Mm-hmm. And I see that in my business. My clients come to me and say, well, we applied. We had a new idea. We could get a new machine. We haven't got the person who can run it. He hasn't got his permit, so let's can that idea and withdraw the advert.
Do we have statistically proof? I know that people say, you know, there has been a skills drainage, but at the same time, we are seeing a record number of graduates. We're seeing a record number of young, previously disadvantaged people across the fields of science, technology, law, medicine. And so how much of a gap is there that cannot be filled by people who are already in this country and who do have the talent? Because the trend of youth unemployment is also an issue.
It is, but, you know, what we've got the coin is facing both ways, because a lot of the people that are even the previously disadvantaged families are sending their kids abroad. They're saying, well, okay, you've now got a degree in engineering, off you go to New Zealand. So, you know, it's half of the people saying, I'm going to leave here and I'm not going to keep my skills here because I can earn more elsewhere, or I can't find a job. On the other hand, we haven't got the actual skills that the business might need. So you're coming out of our education system, you're coming out with a doctorate, and they're saying, well, this is not what we need. So what we do need is the Minister of Higher Education to follow what Barbara Creasy's done and said, let's go sit with the business owners, the BUSA, Business Unity South Africa. Let's sit with them. Where do we need to actually give bursaries to people to actually study what we need in the workplace? Not what you feel like studying. No good getting an arts degree and a doctorate in arts degree if the business community doesn't want it. And we shouldn't be sponsoring that. I mean, it sounds harsh, but we shouldn't.
That sounds very harsh, especially as the holder. Yeah. One of my degrees is an arts degree. So as you said, strict. Okay, huh?
I am saying we need qualified people who could fit into that business community. Yes, we need more engineers. Yes. We need more computer technologists. We're moving into a new era with the business community, and we're not training those people. It's horrible to say. We don't need more lawyers. You just don't need lawyers. Soon you'll be able to go into ChatGPT and look up all the law you want and give you answers. What we need are engineers, computer experts, people who can do coding.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound sexy to go and study coding, but I tell you something, it'll give you a great career.
You know, you've just given me a perfect segue to our next interview, Michael. So thank you so much for your time, Michael Bachlem, labor analyst and lawyer.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.